I don't know if we know. We said we're not going to build a church, we're going to build a family. And I don't know if you come to church sometimes out of religious duty, or you come because of traditional experiences, or you come because of cultural convictions. But I pray when you come to church, you come with your heart wide open to know why you're here and who you're here with. If I got Steve and Adrian to stand, do you mind standing? You would have never met Steve and Adrian. Steve and Adrian are just a very radical, beautiful, wonderful couple from America who brought up their kids in the ways of the Lord. And they said to their kids, whatever you do, you must serve Jesus. And we'll give you everything we can. We'll give you an education. We'll give you a safe house. We'll give you every opportunity we can financially. But we're going to ask you to put Jesus above us. And so their daughter did. She said, I'm going to go to South Africa to work with poor people in a missionary village in Natal, in a very, very dangerous place. And that's where Clint met her and married her. And because they taught her to say yes to Jesus, they lost their daughter to the kingdom of God and to the church and to Africa forever. And on Thursday, they get on an airplane and they go back to America. They say goodbye to their grandchildren. And so when a girl sings on the stage, an American girl sings on the stage, friends, we don't just come to church. We come to a story that is so interwoven by the big and brave decisions of parents in America who brought up their daughters in the ways of God. And so don't just sit there cold. Sit there and realize you are linked into a story that goes back decades. And every single person that we see in this auditorium has made a choice to be here today and has got a story. Some of you could be on bikes, some of you could be in restaurants, some of you could be in bed, but you're here. And when you look around, never ever stop marveling at the mighty, amazing people that we are worshiping with. Thank you. I know it must be dreadfully painful to say goodbye again, but I suppose it's for moments when you see your little girl, mother of three, worshiping in front of a community, being loved and adored. I think it's for moments like that. They're not many anymore, but it's for moments like that that we actually sacrifice our lives for. Thank you. I would dedicate this morning to the Kays and to the Lazovitz families. And some of you know the Lazovitzes. You might not know the Kays as well. If you've been here for any length of time, you will know the Kays family. The Kays family were the very first family that sowed money into this building project. They've been part of this church for many years. They couldn't have children. They adopted children. And so just when they walk into the auditorium like they did this morning as a blended family, you've got to just stop and marvel at the concept of adoption. So before you even sung a single song, before one tune is ever played, I just sit and I think, wow, God, where would those kids be if the Kays, but the pain of not having children and the questions to God of not being able to fall pregnant, those are very real, and we can drink deep of those questions, or we can actually take the Bible and ask God to speak to us and adopt children, actually rescue children and put them on the road to wholeness. At 9:30 last night, 12 hours and 7 minutes ago, the Kaiser and Lazovitz family were sitting at a dinner table having dinner together, and three armed men broke into their house, ruffled their children, threw them on the floor, kicked Andy in the face, robbed everything they took. But this morning into this auditorium walked the Kaiser and the Lazovitz family, and they said to their children, you're going to kids' ministry because you're going to learn about God there, and we're going to go and worship God because a man with a gun is not going to determine our inheritance. God is going to determine our inheritance. And so, friends, I pray every time we walk into this auditorium, we will not be worried about our own selfish, self-centered situations, but we would marvel at the incredible, magnificent people that we are worshiping God with. That we would take our eyes off ourselves just for one moment and think sitting in this room is absolute gold. My jokes from Bronco Sprite started with this couple and their children. This is the Olives. Jason and Vanessa Olive. And they moved to Bronkhorstspruit and they realized that they actually, to bring their kids up in the ways of the Lord, they needed a church. So every single week for the last 8 years, they got in their car and they've driven to 3CI and they've taught their children about the church. You know, the problem is, as Steve and Adrian taught their children about the church, one of their children said, well, there's a church plant that's going to Portugal. I must go to Portugal now. And so she lives in Portugal now, just got engaged and will probably relocate to Portugal, and they'll see less and less of their children. But when you give yourself to the ways of God, you might say goodbye to your children, but you will say yes to the kingdom of God. And one day we'll all be together again. We are ministering and worshiping with millionaires, rich people here. Not just rich in money, rich in time, rich in choices, rich in decisions. Thank you for driving from Bronkhorstspruit. I'm sorry for every joke I made about Bronkhorstspruit, Dronkvoortspruit, and all those places. But thank you for driving. But when I was a schoolboy wearing that pair of rugby boots, I was walking down the streets of White River and I heard an audible voice say to me, you must start a church here. I didn't even believe in Jesus. You must start a church here. And I didn't do anything about it. On our honeymoon, I went down that same street and I heard the voice say, you must start a church here. And out of obedience to God, we started a church in White River that is thriving now. Absolutely thriving. I have nothing to do with it other than I pray for it every day. He SMS'd me in the holidays. He said, do you have the details of the church in White River? What started in 1987 that went via Bronkhorstspruit all the way to White River into Portugal is just sitting in the second row. And what about the third row and the fourth row? This is Hilton and Michelle Burgess. I drove behind them today. I had to go to Johannesburg this morning to drop off some documents. I came back, and the car that I got behind was Hilton and Michelle Burgess. And God spoke to them 6 years ago. They were living in Krugersdorp. Krugersdorp to 3CI and back again with the service is about a five-hour round trip. And God said to them, you must go to 3CR Church and you must go there and submit yourself there and you must go and serve and make coffee for the people. So for about 16 months, every single Sunday they drove from Krugersdorp to here. You see, friends, we are worshiping with incredible people. Incredible people. And sometimes just lift your hands and just say thank you to God, and sometimes just look around and say thank you. There is a big Portuguese oak here with a green shirt. I said to him today, I want to join you poorers and Greeks. You see how they all congregate together? Before a Sunday, they all congregate together. Got like a secret handshake. I said, because if something goes wrong with the Afrikaans oaks, I want you Greek and poorer oaks to be on my side. Because it seems like you've got a couple of contacts. He said, hey, listen, China, before you join us Greek oaks, what do you want to get out of it? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, before you put anything in, what do you want out? You know how he got saved? He's a Portuguese man. You know how he got saved? A member of this church was in Portugal. They couldn't get their visa, so they had to get sent back to this country to get their visa, and they had no one to house them. So these guys, a Portuguese man married to a Greek woman, took them into their home. While they were in their home, they got invited to come to church. They got radically saved. Their friends have got saved. Their friends have got saved. And sitting in here are many beautiful Portuguese and Greek people because one person's visa was denied. Has your visa been denied? Has your visa been denied? Have you had a gun at your head in the last 24 hours? Have you had a gun at your head? Maybe not physically, maybe spiritually, maybe financially, you got a gun at your head. What you must do? You must just run to the church. And you must just worship God. And I don't know what that those lives of his children are going to go through when a man is stuck his hand across your face because you're shouting so much and pushed you. I don't know what they're going to go through, but their parents are telling us, I will tell you about a God who's bigger than the crime of South Africa. I will tell you about a God who's more powerful than a gun. And today we're going to get up early and we're going to go and serve that God. We're going to go and serve that God. God knows us every detail. You know that God works with me with number plates. I married my daughter, the greatest privilege of my life. I drove the car, I walked her down the aisle, I turned around and I did her wedding. And somebody there had COVID. So I've been double vaccinated and I've had COVID twice. So I am the cure. So if you'd like someone to pray for me, just come. I will talk, I will spit, I'll do whatever, but you will be cured. I have got antibodies up to my eyebrows. Do I believe in the vaccination? Absolutely. Do I believe in ivermectin? I believe in everything. And if I get COVID one more time, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to invent another medicine, horse medicine or something. But in a very emotional moment, sitting at a coffee shop with a very legal document called a marriage register, as marriage officers of South Africa, you fill in this marriage register, and then you go to Home Affairs, and it says, due to COVID, closed. Stanley Bapapa Street. And you come back out again, and 3 days later, you go back to register your marriage, due to COVID, closed. It's seven floors. One person gets COVID, that whole thing shuts down. And then there 500 babies were born in Pretoria in December. So when I eventually went to go and register the marriages, marriage, death, and birth, all in the same queue. Okay, so I'm just sitting there, and I've got my daughter's register inside there, and I am broken that my daughter is changing her name. I'm very excited. She's got the most incredible husband, who in 1 month has added value to her life that I could never have added, because that's the way of God. And sitting in a coffee shop, finalizing all the documentation, I just said, God, can you see me? I mean, hey, it's me, Nasia's dad. And this car came and parked next door to me. Just leave it up there for a moment. That's a 2.5 million rand car. I named my daughter after the preacher of my previous church. I heard him speak about Nasia, and I turned to my wife. Sorry, I haven't got to my notes yet. But I want to tell you, friends, I don't want to do church. I want to build a family. I want to build a family with the Lazarvitzes that choose to come here when they could be sitting in their house and everybody bringing them breakfast and praying for them. They choose to be amongst God's people. Just put it up again, please, and leave it up. My pastor's daughter's name was Nasia. I turned to my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I said, if we ever have a daughter, her name will be Nasia. Nasia, Nas in Hebrew is miracle. Yah is Yahweh, the miracle of God. I've never, outside of the girl we named our daughter after and two people that named after my daughter, I've never ever heard the name Nasia ever again. And while I'm sitting with an open Home Affairs document, crying to God about giving up my daughter's name, he says, your daughter's name is on the most expensive car you can probably buy, a 2.5 million rand red Porsche. And I went up to the guy and I said, hey, bro, do you mind if I take a photo? He said, for what? I said, to send to my friends to show them what gift I bought for my daughter's wedding. So after I'd finished crying, and I said, who's Nasia? He said, my wife is Nasia. I said, my daughter is Nasia. He said, I've never heard of Nasia. I said, nor have I. But I want to tell you, God speaks to me with number plates. And when I realized, I said, we want to build an intimate relationship with God. He is not some far distant God out there. He is intimately involved in our lives. And in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Ephesians, which if I get there today to preach on, in the book of Ephesians, it says, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know. Say no. Say no. So that you might know Him better. Do you know what I want to do this year? I want to get to know God better. I want to get to know Him better. And you know, when you prepare for a wedding, and for you fathers who are marrying your daughters, I have many prayers. One of them is, I thank God I've only got one daughter. And for you with many daughters, the Olive family, God bless you and bless you. And may every trip you took from Bronkhorstspruit come back and bless you multifold. But you're going to go bankrupt, bro. That's all I can tell you. Labola. Yeah, Labola. Yeah, Labola. But I realized that actually in the wedding at the end of the world, because this whole journey that we're going on is going to end up with a wedding. You know that God is busy preparing a bride. We are part of that bride. And that's why, friends, when you worship with the people next to you, you mustn't say what you can, because I tell you, when that wedding dress came, you don't touch that wedding dress. That wedding dress gets treated properly. It gets carried properly. It gets hung properly. That wedding dress is a very, very, very lavish and beautiful garment. This is the wedding dress. You can't speak badly about God's people. You can't throw mud on the wedding dress of God's bride. But I realized the more that I studied around the wedding, actually the wedding day is not going to be about the bride, it's going to be about the groom. Yeah. Yes. And I thought, this is the pinnacle of my whole life. The pastor who preaches about the bride all the time is having his daughter married, and I felt God say, don't make her the center of attention, because you will be doing her a disservice. And the only way we can truly see the bride, if you can stand here, Mel and Mitch, if you can stand that side. This is my bride, if you can look at Mitch. And that is my son. I realize that the only true way that I can see the bride of Christ and how he thinks about the bride is by looking in the eyes of the groom. And when I looked into my daughter's husband's eyes, all I could see was white, because this reflection of her dress went into his eyes. I want to know Christ. I want to know the depth of his resurrection. I want to know the depths of the pain that he suffered, so that I will not be loose with my language when a broken person walks into this church. I want to look deep into his eyes, and I want to see redemption inside of those eyes, so that when people actually confront me, my first response will be one of redemption. You know who irritates me the most in the whole world? And excuse me, I'm a pastor that gets irritated. Can you imagine the story? We're having dinner after the name got changed, and I said to my daughter, send that Porsche out to your bridesmaids and tell them your daddy bought you a big car. I just relax, I didn't, guys, because I know how social media works. And I said, it will take 1 minute until my friend Cameron in Durban will phone me. So she sent a message. I said, she, look what daddy bought for Nessia. 1 minute, Cameron on the phone. Beep, beep, beep. He calls me Dick. I don't know why. He says, hey, Dick. Hey, Dick. Did you really buy your... I said, no, buddy, I didn't. I was just joking. I want to look deep into Christ's eyes. I want to look into his, I want to know his heart. I want to deal with my humanness. And I realize two people really irritate me. One of them are car guards. I don't know why. I've got a reverse camera on my car. And they say, come, 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 stop, stop, stop. I say, have you got a license? No. I said, you haven't got a license and you haven't got a reverse camera and you're telling me how to drive. And then God says, you must look into my eyes, because that is a man created in my image. And you better be careful how you treat him. And you need to find grace. You need to find grace. Desmond Tutu died. There's a news article going around about a Jewish scholar who absolutely slates Desmond Tutu around his anti-Semitic. And as somebody sent it to me and said, Rory, as an elder, what do you think of this? And I realized the Bible says the Jewish God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I said, whether the man is right or wrong, his attitude is wrong. His attitude is completely wrong. You know, friends, there's a man sitting in this auditorium today. Some of you know him. He's a car guard. His name is William. William the car guard. And I know some of you know this story. I don't want to bring him up here to embarrass him. But I met him in a car park when I said good morning to him. And he said, good morning, Pastor. And I said, how do you know me? He said, because I come to your church, Pastor, car guard. I said, William, it's nice to meet you. He said, it's nice to meet you too, Pastor. And I walked into my wife's room the next day with Thomas, our little 1,720 kg boy who's going to go into matric and he's going to try and win his dad's rugby boots back. Captain, my captain, is the captain of heaven. And in the room were roses from William, the car guard, that said, "Dear Mrs. Dyer, God bless you on the birth of Thomas." William. William is here today. He worships with us. The man who walked across the car park into the hospital was a man by the name of Dr. Batchelder, one of the highest specialist obstetricians in the country, and everybody wanted to be like Dr. Batchelder. And even William did. And so he got a bursary to study. And then he studied. And then he studied. And then he studied. And one day, on the front page of the newspaper, it said, "From car guard to doctor." And then he studied some more. And then he studied some more. And then he studied some more. And then he became a specialist obstetrician. And now he's sitting, worshiping God with us in this auditorium. I don't want to be ungracious with any car guard, because I don't know what's inside of them. I don't know what God has for them. And before you and I pass any judgment on any person in this auditorium, you have to know their story. Because there has been an intervention of God's grace and kindness somewhere along the line that has got them to this place, that has redeemed them, that has saved them, that has healed them, that has made them whole and given them the choice to put Christ above their armed robbery last night, to put Christ above the trip from Bronkhorstspruit, to put Christ above the trips from Krugersdorp, to put Christ above. Amen? We were sitting in a funeral, the man who bought my house in Durban, he said to me, "How much do you want for your house?" I said, "I'll ask God." And a car drove into our car park. "Don't do this, guys. I've served God for 30 years. Number plates will get you in trouble." The car drove in. It said RMD. Clint told me. He said, "That guy wants to buy your house." Clint was his friend. He said, "He wants to buy your house." He said, "RMD, a number, and GP. And I felt God say, "That's your name. That's your number. That's where you're going." I said, "That's what I want for my house." He said, "I'll pay it to you." He died of COVID last week. One of Clint's very best friends, one of our elders. A very dear man, Derek Watson. I sat at his funeral service on Friday in Durban, and I just sat at the back, and I looked at all the people that I've served God with for 20 years in Durban. And on my right was Alexi Katsoudis. Watched them since a little boy. He's become a very, very well-known financial planner in South Africa. He's got a very successful business. Next to Alexi Katsoudis was Mark Slaughter. Mark Slaughter's wife was sitting next to him. They have 5 children. I married Mark Slaughter. He came from a divorced home. I married him. He was a private school boy. I married him in Michael House Chapel. I remember standing to do his wedding. And as I was doing his wedding, he looked at me and he said, "Get me out of here." I'm saying, "Oh, praise God, we believe in marriage and we thank God that He puts 2 people together and that where God has made 2 together, let no man place them asunder." He said, "Get me out of here. Get me out of here." So I said, "What's wrong?" But he said, "Get me out of here. I don't want to do this." Because his parents had got divorced and he had such a deep wound inside of his heart. So I took him. I stopped the wedding. I took him outside. We spoke to him, his father-in-law. As we were doing the funeral, he was sitting there. His father-in-law, Lex Stewart, was sitting over there. Lex Stewart took him and he grabbed him by his ears and he kissed him on the forehead and he said, "Young man, go inside there and marry my daughter." 5 children. He's got an unbelievable business. He leads a church. He's the most remarkable man. And I thought, I'm not just standing in a building. I'm standing with men and women that have made radical choices for Christ. You know, in Groblersdal, there's just land. If you want to marry a girl from Groblersdal, just ask her to show you a picture of how much land is behind her. This man is an heir of farms in Groblersdal. He's an heir of farms in Groblersdal. His brothers are some of the biggest farmers in Groblersdal. They have got an empire of farms. And God said to him, "You must go and love Portuguese and Greek guys that join your home group. You stay in Pretoria and you keep loving those oaks." He could be sitting now on his stoop watching the combines go through the millies. And he chooses to be here with his family, loving Greeks and Portuguese people one at a time. What about you over there in the orange shirt? What is your story? And you at the back, sir, with the long pink shirt. And you sitting there, sir, with that shirt. And you, Calvin and Sandy. And that incredible family and the blessing we have of your daughter every Sunday. We want to serve God as a family. Not as a business, not as a church, not as an organization, as a family. And this is my prayer, that this year we'd get to know God deeper. In the eyes of refugees, this lady who's just come in the top 10 of Mrs. South Africa, Mrs. South Africa, top 10 Mrs. South Africa, is a Congolese refugee who walked down with her family. Walked down Africa with her family. She sits and worships with us. Don't ever take any person for granted. Don't take any person ever for granted. Father, thank you that I have friends good enough to know that as my son goes into his matric year, Lord God, that they somehow get the Springbok captain to leave a message. That is the deep love language of my own heart. Go Boyki is the story that fashioned me because I understood you better, Lord God. I thank you for every choice that people have made to be here today. I thank you, Lord, we can choose to be broken or we can choose to be healed. We can choose to say yes to you or we can choose to say no to you. We can choose to forgive or we can choose to remain bitter. We can choose to be generous or we can choose to be stingy. In front of every single one of us will be choices this year, Lord God. I say we pray, Lord God, we'll say yes to Jesus. I don't know what Gary Gosling's farm will look like in heaven, Lord God, but I know it will be more acres, more hectares than the farm that he could ever have built on this earth. Thank you for every seed he's planted in a Greek heart. Thank you for every seed he's planted in a Portuguese heart. Thank you for every person he's followed up, Lord God. Thank you for the way they've loved the Forks family. That doctor in New Zealand. There's two doctors who lost their three daughters in that absolute tragedy. Her family are sitting here this morning. They're sitting here this morning. And we can have running commentary on everything, or we can just love people and look after them. And we don't understand that tragedy. But I tell you, if we pray and we worship and we love and we care, they will get healed. Amen. They will get healed. They're sitting here amongst us today. We are not worshiping with random black people and white people and car guards and doctors and refugees. We are worshiping with men and women created in the image of God. Precious, beautiful, holy. Geniuses. Absolute geniuses. This is my prayer. That, Lord, you would open the eyes of my heart so that I can truly see the value of your people. I went into a coffee shop in Natal. It's called Blueberry Cafe. And I walked around it. And I saw it's run by a heart surgeon. And that heart surgeon has got a whole lot of pictures of the men that he's worked with, heart doctors. And there's one picture missing. And that picture I just went to him. I tried to find this heart doctor in the holidays. And I was here. My mum needed, some of you know this story. My mum needed an appointment with a heart doctor because she had to fly overseas. And the heart doctor in Durban that she was trying to get hold of was a guy called Letcher, Guy Letcher. And I said to Mel, there's a guy in our church, a young student, Letcher, Craig. I'm going to ask him if that's his dad. And at the back of the auditorium, I walked up to him. I said, Craig, my name is Rory. He said, hello, Rory, I know you. I said, Craig, can I ask you a question? Is your dad a heart doctor in Durban? He said, yes, he is, Rory. I said, my mum needs an urgent appointment. 6 o'clock the next morning. You see, Craig Letcher, it's all here. The genius is all here. God's got everything he needs here. 6 o'clock the next morning, my mum walked into Craig Letcher's dad's office. His mum was a secretary. Said, hello, Mrs. Dyer. Hello, Mrs. Letcher. Our boys are in church together in Pretoria. She had the appointment. She got the certificate and she went overseas. That's what she needed it for. I said to Dr. of the Blueberry Cafe, I said, there's no picture of Dr. Letcher on your wall in your cafe. He said, yes, I know. I need one. Can you get one for me? I said, yes, I can. So I phoned Craig. I said, Craig, I need a picture of your dad to hang up in a coffee shop in Nottingham Road. And I said to the heart surgeon, I said, Dr. Kleinluch, what do you do? He says, I repair men's hearts. I'm a specialist at repairing men's hearts. But you know, Rory, I can't make them happy. I can fix their hearts, but I can't make them happy. I pray that God would open the eyes of our hearts so that we might know the hope to which we are called, the inheritance we have in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. Amen.